You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, Brother Gravely laid it down there, didn't he? I was thinking a good nickname for him, Machine Gun Gravely, I'm telling you. He's hit the trigger and he's putting it out, ain't it? This has been great. This has all been good, all the messages. I've enjoyed all of it. And I come here to help, but I think I got more help than I've given. You have all been such a help. And Brother Treiber, thank you for being such a great host. And this is a great meeting, helping all these preachers and these good people. And we're glad to be a part of it. Thank you for all the great music and the food and the motel and all of it. Thank you for everything. I've enjoyed all these men of God hearing them preach. If you'll take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Samuel 14, 2 Samuel chapter number 14, and verse number 21. 2 Samuel 14, 21. And verse number 21, if you'll stand with me, would you stand in respect to the word of God? And verse number 21 said, "And the king said unto Joab, Behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore and bring the young man Absalom again. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, Today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, Let him turn to his own house and let not him see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because his hair was heavy on him. Therefore he polled it, and he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar, and she was a woman of fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come. And he went, and when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee unto to the king, to say, Wherefore am I come to Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Now, if you notice in that text, in verse 24 and verse 28 there, and then, of course, the last verse, it says, it's talking about seeing the king's face, seeing the face of the king. And that's what we need to do today. That's what America needs. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. A lot of times we seek faces of other people. We think this will help if we get that. But really what we really need is, if God shows up, that's all we need. Seek his face. I'm going to talk to you a little bit here about seeking the king's face, the face of the king. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, today, oh, how we need thee. And Lord, you've visited with us this week. And Lord, we thank you for every message, every song. God, it's all been good. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me. Lord, please use me, I pray. And God, I confess it publicly that I need you. I need your face to shine on me today. And I need your strength and I need your power. And I pray that you'll help me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm preaching to you on the face of the king. You see here, Absalom, the son of David, was quite a character. And I really believe he was just spoiled. I really believe that's a lot of him and wasn't saved, didn't know God. But in the beginning of the story, the setting of all of this was when his half-brother, Amnon, took advantage of Absalom's sister, whose name was Tamar. And you know, I remember many years ago hearing old Dr. Don Green preach a message 50 years ago, I guess, hearing him preach a message on some things that David should have talked to his children about. And he should have told Amnon that your sister is off limits. You don't ever mess around with her. But anyhow, he had a friend too. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab who was a slick operator. And really he coached Amnon and told him what to do. And Amnon took advantage of Tamar, and it wrecked her life, and really it wrecked his, because when Absalom saw Tamar come through and he knowed something wasn't right and he stopped her and questioned her and he found out what had happened, he vowed within himself that he would kill Amnon. And so one day, Absalom, being a slick operator too, he asked the king, he was going to throw a feast for a lot of the workers, and he said, look, I'd like for the king's family, a lot of you, to come down, and would it be all right if I invite Amnon? And so, yes, he said, be all right. And so he invited Amnon to this feast, and when he got him down there, Absalom killed him. And then the Bible says that he fled to Geshur. He fled to Geshur. Now, if you study that thing out, Geshur was Absalom's grandpa's house. That was his granddaddy. And so he fled there to go to his grandfather's house and stayed there for 3 years in the land of Geshur. And the Bible said that in that period of time, he saw not the king's face. He saw not the king's face. And you know, his daddy loved him. It didn't matter what he had done. You love your children. Amen. You love him. And his heart was broken over the death of his one boy. And now this other one, he hadn't even seen him. So David got to missing Absalom. And so he sent his general Joab down to get him. Now Joab, you can read and study that thing. He did not like Absalom. So he tried to pull sort of a crooked deal. And David had mercy on Joab, and that's where we picked up there in our reading. And he said, now what I want you to do, I want you to go to Geshur, and I want you to go get my son and bring him back to Jerusalem. And so Absalom went and tried to get him to come, and he wouldn't come. But then later Absalom wanted to come, and Joab would not come and get him. He wouldn't come and get him. And so Absalom then told his servants, he's got barley fields near mine. Joab's got some barley fields planted near my fields. And he said, I'll tell you what to do. He won't come, but you go set them fields on fire and he'll come. And when old Joab seen the smoke coming off of his fields, he went down to Absalom's house and said, why have you burned my fields? You know, friend, God knows what it takes to get people to come to him. And he knows how to get our attention for sure. And so then he goes and gets Absalom and brings Absalom down to the house He brings him to his own house. He comes to Jerusalem, but he goes for 2 more years. According to this, he goes 2 years to his own house. He had a place there, no doubt, but he goes to his own house. And for 5 years now, he has seen not the king's face. Now his father's brokenhearted. His father's brokenhearted. 5 years he's seen not the king's face. And you know, today, folks, the greatest need that you and I have is to see the king's face. We need to see him. I thank God, listen, for my preacher friends and my church and my family and all of that. But the truth of it is what we need more than we need anything in this world. We need to see the king's face. You know, even in America, I thank God, Brother Treber, for our good president, and I thank God for him. And the other night when I saw him speaking to us by the way of the video, listen, my heart was touched because I love the man. But let me tell you, when he was running for president in our state, there were people that went and literally for 2 or 3 days camped out because he was coming there to our area, I think around Ashboro, and they'd put up tents and stay in fields nearby so they could get to see the president. And I thought, if we could get people that would get that hungry for God, that they'd want to see the face of God, that oh, what we could do in this country if a bunch of Christians would go and get away in a tent somewhere out away from people, away from God, away from people, and get away and get with God. Folks, we could change this country and turn it back to God. But anyhow, I want to give you some points here in this thing. First thing I want us to see is the person's face that we need to see. Revelation 22:4 said, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Thank God, one of these days I've never seen him, but one of these days I'm going to see him. And brother, by the looks of things, I don't think it's going to be too long till we'll see him. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24 and 5 and 6 says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace." You know, sometimes we can get so occupied with the work of the king that we forget to go see the king. And it's the king's face that we need to see. You know, you remember when Jesus come to the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and when Jesus got there, no doubt Martha wanted everything clean and wanted the food to be the best and everything to be just right. And I do believe that Mary was in on it in the cooking and the cleaning. But when Jesus arrived, Mary sat down at his feet and looked up in his face. And anytime you find Mary in there, she'll be at his feet. She'll be at Jesus' feet anytime you find Mary. Well, then Martha kept on working, and she kept on cleaning and cooking or whatever she was occupied with, and she got really out of sorts. And you know, friend, when you're trying to do the work of God without seeing the king's face, you can get out of sorts. You can get where you ain't, your spirit ain't right. And so Martha said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister's left me alone to do all this? And she's left me alone." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about many things, but Mary hath chosen the good part." Now, let me tell you, friend, the good part is when we see his face and we get a glimpse of him and we get a good look at him, you see. Psalm 27:8 says, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." To seek his face means to come into his presence and to believe his word and to hunger and thirst after him, you see. And you know, in the Bible, there was people that when they seen the king's face, it changed them. You know, old Jacob was quite a character, wasn't he, really? I mean, he was sort of a crooked kind of a man in a way, and done some things that really he shouldn't have done. But brother, he run into God at Mahanaim. And the Bible said in Genesis 32:30, I have seen God face to face. Now, God was, I really believe that angel there, the angel of the Lord, Brother Tom, I believe was the Lord that wrestled with Jacob that night. And he got a hold of Jacob, and Jacob got a hold of him. And after a while, God said, turn me loose, turn me loose. And Jacob said, I'll not turn you loose until you bless me. And God had to knock his hip out of joint to get him to turn him loose, did he not? And let me tell you, old Jacob walked different from that day to the rest of his life. And what we need is a meeting with God that makes us walk different, my friend. Oh, let me tell you something, we need God on us. We need to meet God. I read a little book, only about 120 pages, I think, called Fletcher of Malady, talking about an old preacher, Jonathan Fletcher, that was saved under John Wesley. And John Wesley said that, he said that Fletcher was the closest thing to an angel of God he ever met in his life, talking about his prayer life and his holiness. I heard about two old farmers that was going to church one Sunday back in the days of Fletcher. And one of those farmers passed the other one, said, you on your way to church? He said, yes. And he said, we got a guest speaker today. We got a visiting preacher. Said, his name's Jonathan Fletcher. He said, they say that he's got God on him. And he said, well, I'm going to find out today. And so he said, well, you let me know. And so they went their ways and went to their churches. On the way, after church dismissed, this man's coming back from his church and the old farmer coming back from his, and they met. And the man said, well, did you get to hear Fletcher? And they said, tears was running down the face of that old farmer. He said, I saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, let me tell you, friend, we need to have a meeting with God that changes us and makes us thirst and hunger for him. And it changed old Jacob. And let me tell you something, he went from a crook to a prince, didn't he? He went, and his name was changed to Israel. And let me tell you, Moses didn't see his face there when he asked to, but in Exodus 33:20, Moses asked God to see him, and he said, no man can see my face and live. Now you say, yeah, but preacher, I thought Jesus was God. He is. And but friend, you remember he had to put on a veil called human flesh. And he was all God, but he was all man. And he was the perfect, sinless Son of God. But the only way we could look at him is because he had the veil of flesh on him. Paul got just a glimpse of him on the road there of Damascus. And when he did, he didn't see nothing for days. It burned his eyes. And Moses asked God to see him. And God said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And he said, when I pass by, you'll see my hinder parts. And Moses saw the back of God. He saw the back of God as he passed by. And when he did, there was so much glory got on him that when he come down among the people, they had to put a veil on Moses so they could stand to look at him. Oh, listen today, that we might have meetings with God. And when God's face is not toward us and he rejects us, Psalm 13:1 said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Oh, listen, we don't need God's face to be hid. We need for God's face to shine and to smile on our life and on our family and on our church and on our nation. We need to. And if we'll do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, God's face will smile. And God has smiled on this nation. We're running on the credit right now. God's been good to us. He's blessed us. I'm talking about God's really blessed America. But the Bible said the wicked will be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I remember many, many years ago, they had back in the day when Jerry Falwell used to have what they called a super conference up there. He had old Lester Roloff to speak in that thing. And he had old Dr. John Rawlings. And Dr. Rawlings got up and he preached about preachers quitting. And Dr. Rawlings, he said, we've all wanted to quit at some time or other. He said, we've all wanted to quit. He said, I wanted to quit. You wanted to quit. And then here come old Brother Roloff right behind him. He was the next speaker. And the first thing out of his mouth when he walked up, he said, quit. He said, I just want to say, bless God, I ain't never thought about quitting in my life. And Jerry Falwell was coming out with they was going to put on a thing called America, You're Too Young to Die. And old Brother Roloff looked at that thing and he said, Brother Jerry, he said, you need to put up here, America, You're Too Wicked to Live. Oh, let me tell you something. Folks, today what we need is we need to see the face of God is what we need. Now, I give you the person's face we need to see. Now, here's the point. In verse 28, it said, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark you when Ammon's, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong verse there. And Absalom dwelt 2 full years and saw not the king's face. That's in chapter 14, verse 28. The point is we need to see God's face. He dwelt 2 full years in the right city, but saw not the king's face. He was in the right place, but he saw not the king's face. You know, I wonder how many people go to the house of God on Sunday and they sing and they listen to Sunday school lesson and they listen to the preaching, but they leave there and never sing the king's face. You know, he dwelt 2 full years but saw not the king's face. If we see not the king's face, what's the purpose of dwelling in Jerusalem? What's the whole purpose? What's the purpose if we can't fellowship with him? What's the purpose if we don't hear from him and are not touched by him? What is our reason if we don't have his power and blessings upon us? What's our explanation to sinners if they come to our church but don't see the king's face? You know, one of the best compliments I've had, the other day I was telling you about winning that woman to Christ. She came to our church about 4 services. And when I went the other night to lead her to Christ, she said, preacher, I just want to tell you this. Every time I come in that church, God spoke to me. And God worked on me every time I come. You know what she was trying to tell me? She was seeing the king's face. Well, let me tell you something. What does it matter if sinners, if we get them to come, but they see not the king's face? Jesus held that, had Moses to put that brass serpent on that pole and lifted it up. And that was a type of the Lord Jesus, according to John 3:14. And he said, look and live. And my dear friend, people need to be able to look and see the Lord lifted up in our church. Our songs ought to be about him. Our Sunday school ought to be about him. Our prayer rooms ought to be about him. Our preaching services ought to be about him. What good is it if we see not the king's face? What good is it? You see, some people come to church, but their mind is somewhere else. You know, God told Moses, come up on the mount and be there. Come up on the mountain, but you be there when you're there. There's a lot of people go to church and sit and plays on their phone and sit and looks at an iPad or looks at a something else, or they're worried about what they're going to do at work the next day, or they're talking to their neighbor. My friend, when we come in the house of God, we ought to come in that place looking for God. Let me tell you. And you know something? We ought to prepare before we ever get there. We ought to be having some prayer meetings asking God to show up. Show up. You know, I'll never forget in my as long as I live, I'll never forget the first time. I'd been saved for a while. But you know something? And I had prayed, but I don't think I'd ever touched heaven, really. And my old preacher one night, Frank Pittman, is with the Lord now. Most of you wouldn't know him, but he was a preaching machine, and he was a man of God. And old brother Frank called me one Saturday night about 7 o'clock. He said, "Darrell, I'm going to the church to pray. Would you like to join me and go tonight?" And I said, "Sure, preacher, I'll go with you." I loved him. I wanted to be anywhere he was at. And we went into that church that night, Brother Treber. And I'll never forget, we had a little light that the church put up that was shining through the windows of the church house. But he didn't turn any lights on in the building. But that light through that window just put enough light in there we could see. And I remember he laid down right over here on his stomach, flat in the floor on his face. And I got over here and laid down, and he started praying. And he prayed, and then I prayed, I guess for 30 minutes. And I got ready to just get up, you know. I thought we was done. And Brother Frank kept laying there. He said, "Brother Darrell, I don't really think we've touched heaven." He said, "Let's wait a while." If I remember right, he even sung a little bit. And brother, he began to call on God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. God got in that building. Amen. And about 2 or 3 hours after that, we got up. And he didn't say we didn't meet with God then. Brother, God was in that place. I really believe, Brother Treber, that night for the first time in my life, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. I left there that night. My heart was changed. My desires was different. I knew there was something that I needed that I'd been missing. And let me tell you something, friend. We better get a hold of God. And brother, get in that book like Brother Gravely just told us, and get in on our faces before God and live for God and pray. Then the person that couldn't see the king's face was his own son. John 1:12 said, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Absalom was David's own flesh. He was the king's flesh, but he saw not his face. You say, why could he not see King? You know something, sometimes we ride on other stuff. And we think we don't need the Lord because we got this ability or that. Let me tell you, the greatest ability you got's God's ability. But old Absalom, he was running off of his looks. The Bible said his beauty was from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I bet he was as cocky as a banty rooster. And let me tell you, no doubt he was prideful. He had all kinds of pride about him. Nobody could tell him anything, but he had some success. He fathered three boys and a girl that he named after that sister Tamar. But friend, when he died alone. He died without any blessings of God upon him. Friend, let me tell you something. What the person that couldn't see the king's face was his own son. Folks, it'd be a tragedy for me and you to be in the family of God and know God, but never see his face. You know, my little grandson one time, they've moved away now, but he's not in my church anymore. But my little grandson, one time I was talking with another preacher, and my little grandson, he was so used to coming into my office that he didn't knock. He just opened the door and come in. He is about 3 years old. And he knowed that's where Paul's office was. And I was talking with another man in there, and that little grandson of mine, little old Jake, and he opened the door, and he just took a run and jumped up in my arms, put his arms around my neck. You know why he knowed? He knowed he could go to his pawpaw anytime he wanted to. And let me tell you something, friend, you and me got the ability to go into him anytime we want to. The Bible said, let us come boldly. You know what that means? That means without knocking. I can go in anytime. I got an appointment. I can go anytime, my friend, I want to. I can go anywhere I want to go into the place and see the King's face. Oh, let me tell you, listen, the position of Absalom. Oh, listen, his life was a mess. Sin separated him from the King's face. And sin always separates us from the King's face. He said, God's ears, his arms, not his ears not heavy that he cannot hear, neither his arm heavy that he cannot save, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Listen, friend, God's not deaf. He just needs somebody to get right and get to him. And look at me, stubbornness kept, and rebellion kept Absalom from seeing the King's face. Stealing and disloyalty when he stole the kingdom and tried to take over being the king, that kept him from the King's face. My friend, if we're gonna see the King's face, we have to be clean, don't we? Preachers, we need to stay clean and keep our life clean. And then, listen, the place. Listen, all this time he dwelt there, but saw not the King's face. But I will say this, in the end of it though, look at this. I like this part of it, and I will close. Verse number 32 of chapter 14 said, and Absalom answered Joab, and behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king. Wherefore am I come to Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. It almost looks like he's trying to get right. I don't think he ever did, but look at it. Verse 33, this is beautiful though. It says, so Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. How long has it been since you've been kissed by the king? When's the last time you've been in a prayer meeting and said, I believe I was kissed by the king? Brother, let me tell you, I want to be kissed by the king. And folks, if we don't get kissed by the king, it's our own fault. Because he with open arms said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Preacher, the best place to run is run to the King. You've been dwelling somewhere else. You've been involved in too many other things. Brother, we better get back to the King. America, I thank God, as I said, for our president and our leaders, and I pray for them, prayed for them this morning. But look at me, we better seek the King. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'll help us to thirst and get hungry to see the King's face. Lord, help us to get right and pray. God, if there's ever been a time in our history that we needed to get us a prayer room and get us a prayer place and meet God, it's now. Lord, if there's ever been a time ever we've needed to dive into this book and get to know you, it's now. Father, I pray that you will help each and every one of us, Lord, to seek the King's face. You said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Lord, that's the thing that Absalom always failed to do was to humble himself. Lord, may we humble ourselves before a holy God, and may we seek God's face.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.